Kind of a treat today. I treated myself. I did something selfish. And hopefully a little distracting, too. And I'm joined this morning in my selfish act with Kerry O'Dell and Thad Heckman. First off, Kerry, good morning. How are you, man?
I'm very well. Good to talk to you.
And Thad Heckman, who is joining me as well. Thad, it's good to meet you for the first time.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. My two guests this morning have written a book. It's called Kerry O'Dell and Thad Heckman's Bucky's Dome, The Resurrection of R. Buckminster Fuller and Ann Hewlett Fuller's Dome Home in Carbondale, Illinois. And, you know, of course, you have to say SIU. They was a member of the is faculty is the right way to put that word? Or
he's a faculty member affiliated with Southern Illinois University in one context or another for 12 years.
And, you know, I was a young boy. I was a boy, let's face it. I was very young, and I can tell you that I bought a lot of toothpicks making geodesic domes.
Good for you.
Right? And you know what's interesting is when you were, Walter Wendler often told me about this in SIU, when you're so close to something, you sometimes fail to appreciate it. That's not the case with you two. I was watching a movie the other day, science fiction movie, and they picked an interesting set, and I look in the back, and all I see is Buckminster Fuller's work, right?
Absolutely.
He's probably in some form or another on the Dragon X that went to the space station overnight. Buckminster Fuller is so immense. What is it, Thad? Is it the saying, look, the strongest shape is a square? And he says, no, it's a triangle. Is that what made Buckminster Fuller who he was?
Well, it certainly added a lot to the popularity. Now, a quick clarification, he actually didn't invent the dome, the geodesic dome. It was invented in Germany by the Zeiss Optical Company. But whether it was a simultaneous idea or what, there's some contention on that. However, he certainly investigated, wrote very thoroughly, and innovated the most about the geodesic dome. He is certainly the guy that popularized it.
And you know, it's interesting, you can go and say, look at the effect he had even on the dome at the SIU Arena as you look up into the dome, right?
But and the Arena Dome is not a geodesic dome. Just kind of a straightforward supported dome. Geodesic domes have a very particular characteristic, is that they are based completely on triangulation with nests of pentagons and hexagons. The Arena Dome is not quite that kind of an animal, but any kind of dome people often associate with Bucky. But
right, and when I look up, and
when
I look long, see long triangles, I think Buckminster Fuller, and probably no surprise.
Geodesic domes cover more land mass on the planet because of all the big stadiums and arenas and things like that than the work of any other architect. So that's pretty impressive.
But what you have created with Bucky's Dome, I think, couldn't have been done, because I look at this book as a documentary. Thad, I do, I don't think you could do it any other way because of how long, how many hands. There's a real history just with this building alone.
Absolutely.
Kerry, you want to talk about this a minute?
It's a full history of the dome in Carbondale, which is now part of the National Register of Historic Places. It was built on Forest Avenue on one day in 1960. Bucky and his wife lived there their entire time in Carbondale. It's the only dome that he ever lived in. It's also the only home that they ever owned. And it's still standing all these many years later. It's changed hands, ownership a couple times, not very often, which is surprising for a home that's that old. And it's sort of an unexpected and futuristic thing plopped right in the middle of Carbondale. And the book is the full history of both the building of the dome and then the ownership of it, and then its life as a rental property, then all the way up the past 20 years with its restoration, which is still going on to a certain extent. I mean, the inside is almost done and the outside is almost done, but we have our work around the yard and the fence to do and stuff like that. It's a full history all the way practically up to yesterday.
Well, Thad, what's interesting is you take a look at this. Getting from there to here has been a story, and I think one of the big stories is the people who cared about this building understood its significance and were great stewards.
You know, and that's right. And in fact, Mike Mitchell, who bought it from Bucky back in 71, 72, and he's had even some distress about the fear he would be viewed as an improper landlord, hadn't kept care of it. And in fact, it was in quite good, I don't want to say good repair because it wasn't. It was simply an old building that hadn't been taken care of. But he was conscientious not to destroy historical aspects of it. He kept things the way they were, dilapidated as it was. So I think, and Carrie and I both tried to reassure him that actually, you know, you did okay. You didn't tear it up. It's still there. We're sort of amazed it didn't burn down because of some of the wiring and things when we got inside of it. But other than that, it survived. It looks, by the way, Tom, now fantastic. The interior is just like it looked when Bucky and Ann lived there.
Have you guys hung out in this inside this alone?
Oh, yeah.
I have not.
I've been in it many, many times, working for hours by myself, as well as many other people on the Dome organization.
And here's the interesting thing about this. It's interesting because it gives you space. You don't have pylons. I've spent time in some of the other domes. The acoustic properties had a tendency to freak me out a little bit.
They do. You can whisper on one side and hear it clearly on the other, which was actually a pro and a con. I've also heard people mention that history that if they're sleeping in the loft, you can't get any sleep because somebody's talking or something. It just bounces around everywhere.
Well, I can tell you from personal experience, if you're in the loft and you make any noises, they can hear you downstairs, too.
Yeah. Technically, the Dome is only a one-bedroom home. You know, this was before the rise of the McMansion. It was only going to be Bucky and his wife living there. They didn't want a lot of space. They didn't need a lot of space. But when you're in it, because of the high ceilings, you know, characteristic of a geodesic dome, it never feels closed in or claustrophobic. I'm a little claustrophobic, but I never feel that way when I'm in the dome.
It's interesting because you have so much headroom, too, and all that. Yeah, I actually understand that. Thad, one thing I want to touch with, we talk about Buckminster Fuller's far-flung effects and his theories and his futuristic way of seeing things. We should mention this site is probably more than one kind of historical site, isn't it?
Well, I'm not sure what you mean, Tom.
Well, is it on the historical list of buildings of, say, Carbondale, State of Illinois, National? I was wondering.
Oh, yeah, certainly. Well, and now we're very well thought of, obviously. It is on the city's list of historic. It is on the state's list, and we are just now starting the paperwork. In fact, I sent a letter about, a few weeks ago for the National Historic Landmark status, and that's about probably a 3 to 5 year process to get that. But once that's in place, then, you know, I think Carbondale has something to be proud of anyway. But as soon as we get National Historic Landmark, I think that's going to be a real feather in the whole region's cap.
What's next for honoring Buckminster Fuller and Carbondale involving this dome? Carrie?
Well, as I mentioned, we want to finish with the restoration of the home. We still have some more work to do. We want to Bucky and his wife had this large fence that went around the home. They had a small fountain in front of it. All of that we need to raise money for and pay for it so we can take it back to how it exactly looked back in the early 60s or 65 or wherever when the Fullers lived there. And long-term plans is to create some sort of interpretive center so that people can come and not only see the home, but before they go to the home, see maybe across the street or something, learn about Bucky's life, his inventions, his life in Carbondale, his life after Carbondale. I should mention that neither Thad or I are receiving any funds or any profits from this book. All profits for it go back to the dome, to the restoration and preservation of the home.
And yeah, by the way, if you want to consider this, because I have a library of books that I consider my Southern Illinois history books, this is one that needs to be in it. Here's a message just came in on the American Monument text line. Here from Joe. It says, I love Bucky and his domes. I started drawing architectural pieces because of Buckminster. I went into mechanical engineering because of him. No, I didn't finish that degree. But
That's okay.
And he says, didn't he do the house with the water flowing through it? I'm thinking he's talking about Frank Lloyd Wright
there. He's thinking Frank Lloyd Wright's water, I think.
Right.
The very, very different architect from Frank Lloyd Wright. I mean, Bucky was all about the circles and everything. And I always think of, and I'm not an architect, but I always think of Wright as very linear and square.
Right. So do I. And I love them both.
With
Buckminster Fuller, by the time I'm doing toothpick geodesic domes in grade school, but by the time I get to high school, I'm doing A-frames. I mean, he got me into that thing. Here's another note that just came in. Bucky was not taken in academia seriously. And I think there was some of that. But you know what? Because he was a far-flung thinker, and I'm not surprised by that statement this morning. But, you know, his time at SIU, look how many people he inspired, and he did come up with things. That this seems to be in your category. If you were going to say his biggest accomplishments, what would you think they would be?
Well, geodesic domes are obviously the popular one, but, you know, I make an analogy, actually, to Einstein, because everybody has heard of Einstein's equation, but a lot of people don't realize what a humanitarian Einstein was, and the same is similar with Bucky. He just, you know, the dome is extremely popular, it's cool as all get out, but Bucky's environmental and compassion for humanity, the planet, his global thinking, I think, is the big legacy.
Yeah, and Kerry just said sustainability, and you know what?
Exactly.
If you want to talk about coming before you.
So ahead of the trend with, you know, making use of that word, he was a very early environmental activist, concerned about, again, no waste, and, again, one of the reasons the home, both inside and out, is very economically, as far as space is concerned, it was like there's no need to build more than you need. There's no need to take up more land than you need. So he seems so on trend with what's going on today in society.
Yeah. Are there any of his cars left?
Yeah, there's Dymaxion car number, one of them is at the Reno Car Museum. Forgot the name of it, Tom.
Yeah.
Is that in Tennessee, Fed?
No, that's in Nevada.
Okay.
Reno, Nevada. Doggone it, now you caught me cold on that.
Right. Because the Dymaxion, I think
that
you look at that now, and you look at the Can-Ams, and you look at some of the other designs that are out
kidding.
There, and you say, look, who did this, right? Your steering wheel is in the back, right? I mean, you know, that. No, you can't do that. You know, this is an interesting guy.
Yes.
And I was thinking about what Thad and Kerry were just talking about, because Buckminster Fuller, Thad, Kerry, you're going to have to stop me if I get this quote wrong. But at one point in his life, he says to himself, if I'm going to be the most effective, I have to work with on behalf of the largest number of people. If I'm going to reach my full potential in life, I can't just work for a small group. I have to work for the planet. Now, he said it more eloquently than I just did. But I've always thought that statement embodied F. Buckminster Fuller.
Yeah, it seems to rise above politics, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. That probably came out of the personal crisis that Bucky had when he was a young man. He and his wife had two children. Their daughter, Leg, was still alive. Their daughter, Alexandra, died at a very young age. And it, as happens to parents when they lose a child, I mean, it caused a lot of self-reflection. And Bucky even became suicidal at one time. But he took a year off to kind of be quiet with himself and assess himself, and he came up with a lot of the philosophies that would guide him for the rest of his life. And that sounds like it was probably born out of that. Like, I can't just focus on myself. I have to focus on the world, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because I had a friend of mine who was Professor George Mace at SIU, and we were friends for many, many years. Mm-hmm. And George was closely associated with Buckminster Fuller. It was kind of his job to make sure Bucky got where he needed to be and was doing what he needed to do and got what he needed to continue to set this, put SIU on the map. We're relatively new at this time, and put us on a map, and I think in a contemporary way of thought, unless we hired Elon Musk, there wouldn't be a way to really compare, would it?
That's it. I think you got it, Tom. And
it's important to note that Bucky, when I always knew that Bucky had taught at SIU back when I was a student there, because I'm an SIU grad, but I was surprised when Thad and I began researching the book how long Bucky was affiliated with the university. 10 years. It was his longest, it was his first academic appointment and the longest he would ever have. So he did more than just pass through. Now, he traveled extensively around the world speaking, and he had other teaching assignments around the country and sometimes overseas. But he was affiliated with Carbondale and SIU for a very long time, and some very prime years. I don't even remember how many patents he wrote or he obtained during his SIU years. He wrote like 10 or 12 books during his time with Southern Illinois University. So it was very good to him, and he, was very good to the university. He was on the cover of Time magazine during his tenure in Carbondale.
All right, and left an impression. Like I said, I'm a little boy at McKinley School in Harrisburg, Illinois.
Oh, yeah.
My little buddy named Oglesby, we were fascinated with Buckminster Fuller, and we were You're not going to do geodesic domes for your science. Yes, I am going to do it again.
You know, one of the things, Tom, I like to mention is you can land almost anywhere in Europe and Asia,
yes,
and mention Buckminster Fuller's name to just random population, and they'll know who you're talking about.
Right.
It's hit or miss if you go 20 minutes out of Carbondale if they're going to know who Buckminster Fuller is locally.
Right.
And I think that needs I think we need to amplify Bucky's place in the region because he is a world thinker from the last century.
Absolutely.
That is becoming more recognized. I think there's a bit of a resurgence, especially with the environmental concerns and all he had.
Yeah, he was ahead of his time in many respects. And I tell you what, I appreciate you, too. I kept you longer than I promised. Sorry.
Oh, that's no problem.
Carrie O'Dell and Thad Heckman have been our guests this morning. It's Bucky's Dome, the resurrection of R. Buckminster Fuller and Ann Hewlett Fuller's dome home in Carbondale, Illinois. There are a lot of photographs. It's a lot of detail. Mm-hmm. It's a documentary of this home in Buckminster Fuller. And gee whiz, it's cool. I mean,
thank
I
you.
Just paged through thank there you. Real quick. And what I open up to one of the pages, which is a geodesic dome, covering the geodesic dome. And I can't help but think Florida, what is it? Epcot Center.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
And you look at that and say, he's everywhere. You look in the background, you see his design show up in a lot of different things, especially if somebody's an interesting look for an interesting set to create a science fiction movie. You'll see Buckminster Fuller in a dome somewhere in the background.
Yeah. They show up all the time, and they're interesting structures and a lot of fun.
All right, so how can people get the book?
They can go to local bookstores like Barnes & Noble. It's available on Amazon.com and other BarnesandNoble.com and other online booksellers. And it's a very approachable book. It's not written. I'm not an architect, as I mentioned, but it's a very approachable book, meaning that it's you don't need to know all about geodesic domes. You're going to learn a lot, but you don't need to know that when you pick it up. And
no,
like you said,
not
a lot
all.
Of pictures, and it's
you'll
all for a good
it.
Cause.
Yeah, well, me, it's got a lot of pictures. I'm from Harrisburg, so that's a good thing. Carrie O'Dell and Thad Heckman are our guests this morning, and I appreciate both your times.
Hey,
thank you very much.
Thank you. Take care.